Voices of Hope is a podcast of New Hope Presbyterian Church in Castle Rock, Colorado. You can listen to our sermons, interviews, and Pastor Pod on iTunes, Spotify, Google Podcasts, and any popular podcast platforms. Our worship times are on Sundays at 9 and 10:45 a.m. Our summer worship time will be at 10 a.m. starting on May 26th. Welcome to Pastor Pod, our first in a series of podcasts when Pastor Russ and I get together to give our best answers to your questions about the Bible, theology, and life. Please enjoy. Welcome everyone to the Pastor Pod. This is Jordan, the associate pastor at New Hope Presbyterian Church, and I'm joined here by our senior pastor, Russ Kane, and we are answering your questions about God, faith, and life. And we think questions are a pretty important thing around here, don't we, Russ?
Yeah, we do. And we're not coming as the Bible answer men by any means. We are people who are wrestling with the same questions, and ours isn't to end the conversation with the right answers. It's to open it up and keep the conversation going. This was an extension of a Sunday we did where people got to write down their questions, and we just fielded them in the moment. We had so many, we thought we'd keep this conversation going, and we're going to do the same rules, right? We're going to basically take about 2 minutes per questions just to keep some boundaries on it. And again, not because we're going to exhaust all the right answers. It's just so that we can kind of move the ball down the field so that we get to keep that conversation going amongst ourselves. So yeah, you've got a stack of cards there. Just pull one out and let's see where we go.
All right. Let's just pull one out here. Ooh.
I don't like the sound of that.
What is the symbolism of the Celtic cross in the sanctuary? Another one on it is, when we accept new members, we quote the credo that the scriptures are uniquely authoritative. Explain a little bit more about what uniquely authoritative means. So we have two questions right there off the bat. Let's just start with the symbolism of the cross in the sanctuary.
Sure. So Celtic Christianity is grounded in the British Isles mostly. There's other evidences of it. Scotland, Wales, certain parts of Northern England. It came out of a group of people that, when Christianity came, were well grounded in a creation spirituality. They combined the two. You see that in Celtic crosses, including the one that's at the top of our steeple and in our sanctuary. There is a circle that the cross is, and the circle means eternity. And so that God is the same yesterday, today, and forever, and has no beginning and end. So that's where the circle comes. And when you see a circle on a cross, that's Celtic. But it is also this embeddedness of it. You'll see knotwork that is being done, that is embedded on our cross. And if you go to Iona and some of the places where there is a Celtic cross, you see this everywhere. And it's that we are woven and knit together by the love and the grace of God. So the knotwork shows that not only how are we connected with God, but how we are connected with one another. And then finally, in our sanctuary, in the center of that cross is a little symbol. It's called the triquetra, and it is an abbreviation of three circles, interlocking circles, which reflect and symbolize the Trinity, the idea that we understand God as Father, Son, and Spirit. And so that is embedded in there. And again, that is also something that is deeply connected to, though not exclusive, obviously, to Celtic spirituality. So when we have that there, we are picking up on all those elements.
Yeah, and I think what's important, I was kind of checking sound levels and stuff, so I don't know if you went over this, but...
I'm insulted, you know, now. Just, I don't know.
Both the knots and, you know, that circle around the cross is kind of meant as that... the unconditional love of God, the eternity of God,
right.
The constant, there is no beginning or end on that circle. It's just one big thing.
Yeah, there's our 2 minutes. Yeah, and yeah. So if you look at the knotwork on it, it's also never ending.
Right.
It has no beginning, no end. It's just kind of constantly weaving in and out of itself. That's a great, in my mind, a great symbol for Christian community as it's embedded in the love of God.
Mm-hmm. All right, so the next one.
Well, that was easy.
That was easy.
Give me another furniture question.
Symbols are always easy to use.
Yeah.
Talk about. When we accept new members, we quote the credo that the scriptures are uniquely authoritative. Explain a little bit more what uniquely authoritative means. You can start.
Sure.
I'm good. Not.
So I think what they're referring to is when we officers, and usually when we do members, we don't talk about the scripture so much, but nonetheless, we certainly do. When we have officers, we ask questions of ordination. Are they? Do you believe that scripture is the Old and New Testament by God, the unique and authoritative witness to Jesus Christ and God's word to you? The idea of authority is that scripture is a unique and authoritative in that it points to Christ more than anything else. But the ultimate authority is Christ. When Jesus was with his disciples after the resurrection before he ascended into heaven, and he said to them, all authority on heaven and on earth has been given to me. He meant me. He didn't mean some of the things that some of you were going to write about me later on. So all the things that are written about Christ and written about God take their authority to the degree that they point accurately to Christ himself. So when we say that scripture is the unique and authoritative witness, we think it is unparalleled. There is nothing else that has the same power or legitimacy to us. But its authority comes because of who it points to, not because in and of itself it is authoritative, much as our own life does. So we are saying that scripture has that place. It is not the only thing that points to Christ, but it has a unique place that we take that more seriously than anything else when it comes to pointing to who Christ is and what that calls us to do.
And I think that's, in our tradition, yeah. That's not the only piece of authority, right? There's different, we have scripture,
mm-hmm.
Reason,
yep,
church history, right?
Right.
And our creeds and confessions.
Right. Yeah, ours, particularly with the creeds and confessions, it would be separating us from some of the others that you also use tradition, history, scripture, reason. But all of them have their authority to the degree that they point accurately to the person of Christ.
Yes.
And the call in our life. That's where they get their authority. If they accurately point, then they've got authority because Christ has authority. If they don't, then we don't.
Mm-hmm. All right. You think that's explained well enough? Do we need to go more?
Get us in plenty of trouble.
All right.
All right. We got time for one more, a different card. Let me pull this one out. This will be good. Why are some prayers not answered? Think about that one, Pastor.
Maybe you're on a separate wavelength, a different channel, maybe. No, I'm just kidding. I don't want to get in trouble for that. So I think for a lot of us, we've grown up with this idea that prayers are things that we ask God for stuff or for healing or for anything. So it's almost a transaction that we've grown up with learning about prayer. But I think prayer oftentimes is a way for us to converse with God, not to just ask for things like God is Santa Claus or a genie, that God is a relationship that we have. And I have this very, this interesting kind of like a plaque that's up in our apartment that we got a long time ago. And the first time when we got it, I wasn't quite at the place I am now. And I was wondering what it said, if it made sense at all. It says that prayer is less about changing the world and more about changing ourselves. And I've grown to love that quote on the wall over the years, because that's what it's doing. It's realigning us with God, with the vision of God, especially contemplative prayer, prayer that really seeks to go after God's heart and for that heart to be ours also. And so I think in a lot of ways, when we pray, God is helping us change to be kind of that answer to your prayer in the world as we continue to take on the character of Christ.
Yeah, that's good. Yeah, I think that's really good, because it seems to me that God is suffering with us, for us, because of us. And when we pray, we get to, in a sense, wake up to where God is already suffering. It may be easy when it has to do with someone we love who's sick or something that's critical. But I think part of the prayers that we get are because God is waking us up to the suffering that is around us and inviting us to align with God. I don't think it's a matter of changing God's mind. somehow getting God to pay attention so that God will come down here and take care of things that we can't take care of ourselves. I think God is embedded, and the Spirit of God is embedded in us. When Romans 8, when it talks about the Spirit that prays through groans and sighs that are too deep for words, I think it is, that's one of the windows we have into what God wants. It's waking up to what God is trying to do in our world. And the real answering of prayer sometimes is, why aren't we doing something? And this is a way of God getting our attention. Along the side of the one quote in your apartment, the one I quoted the other day for some folks, was this also not an original statement, but when it talked about, I saw the starving child and I screamed at God until I realized the child was God screaming at me. I think that's what prayer does. It gets my attention and realizes there's something that is wrong, that God is already there. Now, what am I going to do, and how am I going to do something about it, even as I ground that concern, that suffering, in the very presence of the loving God who's already at work?
Does prayer just have to be a very formal thing?
No, I don't think prayer has to be formal any more than, you know, music running the scales is formal, but it's so that it kind of helps shape and form the ways that you do pray. I think we pray whether we think we're praying or not. Mm-hmm. Again, I think when we are sighing and groaning, I think that is praying, God praying in and through us when it's too deep for words. I think the words kind of help us because they get our mind in line, but whether we think we're praying or not, we are praying. There is a running dialogue in our soul with God, whether God's trying to get our attention or whether we're trying to make sense of things with God. I think the words help us. They don't help God, but they do help us and kind of help things come to the surface. So that's where I think formal prayer comes in, too, whether we're teaching kids, now I lay me down to sleep at night, or grace at meals, or even the Lord's Prayer on Sunday morning. It's a way of joining voices together in a form that helps to shape us, and then we grow into it.
Yeah. I like to tell people that it doesn't have to be just sit down, say dear God, and then end it with amen. But like a lot of times if I'm on a hike, I'm constantly almost unconsciously talking with God about things, right? Yeah. And so just getting to that point where it's no longer like this, especially for you personally, a formal thing where you say dear God, amen, but it's just talking with God and listening also.
Yeah. So I think anytime you think you're off by yourself, you're missing the point of prayer. I love that the title of Anne Lamott's book, Wow, Thanks, Help, that those are the three basic prayers of every human being. And anytime we are going, wow, when you're out hiking, when something is welling up saying thanks, whether you think you're saying it to God or not, or whether you're saying help in any way, your soul is conversing with something that is beyond yourself. And again, if you think it's just yourself, that's the biggest obstacle to prayer. It's when you realize you are constantly praying already and God is constantly trying to get our attention and wake us up. Boy, that's a different way to understanding prayer.
Being plugged into the hum of the universe.
Yeah, as Rob Bell quoted.
All right. Well, I think that's the questions for today. So we'll see you guys next time. If you enjoyed our podcast, please rate and review us on iTunes. You can also check out more about New Hope at newhopeprez.org. If you have a question for the Pastor Pod, please email them to jordan@newhopeprez.org, J-O-R-D-A-N, @newhopeprez.org, or send us a message on Facebook. And we will see you next time.